The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Myself and my team of wooers are here in the Carlingford Marina as part of the News Talk summer tour, and that is thanks to the ESB's 1600 EV chargers across Ireland, giving you the freedom to go further. And of course, all of the shows are going to be heading to various different parts of the world. We selected the Cooley Peninsula here in County Louth because it is, let's be clear, God's country. Sure, where could be better? Now, with us is David Lynch, former editor of the Dundalk Democrat, and Paula Butterley, who is Fine Gael TD for Louth. And they are here to look at the news making headlines this morning. And prime amongst that is the overnight news that the DAA, who has long been pushing for its passenger cap to be increased and has been in a bit of a planning battle with on board Panola and with Fine Gael, finds themselves in another battle with Fine Gael because Fine Gael has announced that they are taking enforcement action against the airport for breaching the planning cap. David, their suggestion is that they are in breach because they're putting more passengers through than they should, and therefore it is incumbent on the local authority to do something about that.
Yeah, which, when you think about it, you're a victim of your own success here. Ireland is getting more people in through the airport. We're having much more success when it comes to tourism, but then the local county council feels like they have to curtail this on the basis that there is planning needed for another runway, and without this going through, they have to put a cap on it. But, you know, all the airlines are crying out for this cap to be lifted. And it's one that I find difficult to understand entirely, to be honest with you.
Although presumably, Paula, the view of the local authority will be, that's all fine and dandy. If you want to raise the cap, you do it legally. You can't just decide to breach the cap and have we, the local authority, do nothing about it.
Yeah, the local authority is going to take their position on it. But let's be honest and call a spade a spade. This whole issue is a little bit bonkers at this stage. You've got the DAA on one side talking about how the cap has to be lifted. It has been breached. You've got the local authority saying, well, you know, we have certain responsibilities, legal responsibilities. But also, I see in the papers this morning, the High Court had put a suspension on this at the moment to allow the parties to settle and talk it out. We do need legislation. We're talking about a cap that was placed there in 2007. Dublin is a different place. The Greater Dublin area is a much different place. But you also have to ask the question, you're talking about Dublin Airport, the country's main airport. We're bringing in tourists, we're bringing in business. We need it not just for Dublin, we need it for the whole of
Although undoubtedly Fine Gael will say, and in some of their briefing documents they have said, the DAA had a long time in which they could have appealed this. The DAA let years pass while this cap was in place and didn't do anything.
True, but I suppose you'll always hear from both parties their side of the story, and we'll hear about how, you know, we had huge financial issues, we had uncertainty. But at the end of the day, we are here now. The issue has to be resolved. That will have to come through legislation, but it has to come fast. We have to stop dithering over this. And I suppose at the same time, we have to ask the question, when it comes to such important infrastructure at a national level, should that be in the competency of a local authority? I'm a great believer of local authority and expanding their powers in certain ways. But when it comes to a national issue, a national piece of infrastructure, should they really have it?
Well, 53106 if you have your 087-1400-106 on WhatsApp. The former will cost you 30 cents. The latter is for free. And I've been given the view of the local authority. We'll get the view of Kenny Jacobs, the DAA chief executive, a little after 10 o'clock this morning. In other news, there's an interesting piece in the Irish Times today written by their consumer editor on dodgy boxes. These are the boxes that allow you to stream services without paying the streaming provider. And Sky has said this week that they're going to start to prosecute on this basis. Now, we have a live audience here in front of us, and it's radio, so nobody other than me can see. Quick show of hands. Who has a dodgy box? Oh, my. Good Lord, there's a very high proportion. But did you make a note of who everybody put their hand up?
We're taking names.
We appreciate your honesty. We won't tell anybody. But that is an interesting straw poll. There is a large chunk of people who are using these things.
There absolutely is. And in that piece as well, at the bottom of it, in asterisks, it said the name of the person who was interviewed, it is not their actual name. So again, it's this idea that everybody knows it's happening. A lot of people have dodgy boxes, but nobody's going to put their hand up and say it's them. I think the reality...
Other than those people over here. And again, thank you very much.
Exactly, yeah. I think as well, like, you have to look at what the actual reason is. There is so much content out there now. There are so many providers, and they're all charging every month. So you have this... If somebody wants to watch a bit of sport, wants to have some movies, some TV shows, that's like three different packages that they have to pay for every month. So when you put that on top of everything else that's going on with everybody having difficulty in meeting their outgoings, you can understand to an extent why people look for alternatives. So I think it's...
Do you think there's a snowball's chance of anybody getting prosecuted? Whatever about the people selling them? Because there's reports of people making hundreds of thousands. It's a main source of income selling illegal dodgy boxes. But for the consumer who's buying them, do you think there's a chance that Sky are actually going to find prosecutions in all this?
No, I think ultimately they won't, because they are their clients, their customers potentially. So why would you take your potential customer to court? You have no chance then of having a market. I think, yes, they need to find, have found those that are orchestrating it at a higher level. But I think ultimately the likes of Sky, the likes of your other providers need to look at their own product, need to look at their own pricing as well, and try and give more value to a customer. Because otherwise, they will never compete. They will never have an opportunity to compete. And going down the courts just looks like a kind of a nasty...
But what they will say is, whether it is they or any other provider, if you want to watch Pats versus Kickhams and have a camera on the side of the pitch and have it as a streaming service, that requires them to get paid, because otherwise, how do you pay the camera people? How do you buy the equipment, all the rest of it? So you don't get these services unless you're paying the providers.
That's absolutely true. There's no doubt about that. But I suppose if you wanted to go back really far on what happened, when a lot of sports, certainly, you're talking about local GAA there.
Obviously, we'd hope the Kickhams would win that particular game, but let's set
well,
that aside.
That could be debated right here, I'm not sure. you're looking at a scenario where all those years ago, when everything started to go on pay-per-view, you know, you had the BBC, you had RT, you had ITV to an extent. Yes, there was a license fee involved there. Like, you could watch all these programs, all these great sports events free. And then the market started to crowd in with more commercial providers. They started charging. So it's been a gradual kind of increase to where we are today. And I think we've reached that point, that tipping point of something needs to be done.
But is there a chance of it getting done, Paul? I mean, this is like the thing of enforcing the TV license. Prosecutions are deeply unpopular when they happen, and they are very rare.
I think the person in the article gave his age away when he talked about VHS tapes. I don't know if many people here remember the old VHS tape where you stuck it in and
everybody's
recorded.
Far too young.
Yeah, far too young. But it's going to be something that's really hard to enforce and to prosecute. There is an element maybe, you know, to say, well, if you bring me to court, I'll never buy your subscription to Sky again. However, you're bringing out the vein of law and order that I have in me to say, you know, what has been done is illegal, and it will affect this. It will affect the service. But what struck me as well in the article was the reference to the fact that you could download films while they were still in the cinema. And you have to look at that and pause for a moment and say, well, you know, it's great bringing the dodgy box over to Spain and watching the films. But should we not be encouraging people to go to the cinema with the family? It's a great family experience, and surely we'd be hurting not just Sky's revenues.
I absolutely bet you dollars to donuts. Everybody listening is thinking, you can download films?
I know, I've just given it away, haven't I?
Texas say the DAA didn't bother applying for permission until 2 years ago and hoped to get around it by browbeating Eamon Ryan to lift the cap without them going to the expense of having to apply again. Well, I think they had filed an application at the time. They then blame Fingal for having to follow the law and enforce the planning condition. Well, as I say, Kenny Jacobs, CEO of the DAA, will be with us in a while. 531-106 at a cost of 30 cent or 087-1400-106 if you want to get in touch. While we are talking matters related to planning, Paul, I see that Paul Reid, the former chief executive of the HSE, is now going to be the chair of the new planning entity. It's sort of frying pan into the fire to go from HSE to planning, isn't it?
Well, I suppose I don't know Mr. Reid personally, but like everybody else, I saw what he did during COVID, and it was an emergency situation. So my hope is that he'll grasp the nettle, which is planning, and bring the same vigour and energy that he did during COVID, because let's be honest, we need it. We need fast action. We need people around the table to make practical everyday decisions. And that's what Paul Reid is there, under the guidance of the Minister for Housing, is to make those practical everyday decisions in regards to Embord Planola, which since 1977, its whole concept and purpose has radically changed. And maybe the argument could be too much and too much things to decide upon.
Well, we have in a minute. I'm going to ask the guys for another straw poll, because Meghan Markle has a series of products that we are told is selling like hotcakes. I think she actually does sell hotcakes, or crepe, as she calls them. I want to get a sense of whether or not the guys would buy them. Before we get to that, as a former editor of the Dundalk Democrat, every now and then there is a headline that you have to look at and go, oh, I'd love to be involved in that one. I would argue that page 22 of today's Indo is up there. Man drove away with Lidl manager on bonnet of car.
Fantastic. Well, like I saw it actually. I think it was the local paper in Wicklow, and they all did it with Wicklow man. And for some reason, that made it even better. I don't know why. Just Wicklow man. Whatever county it might have been.
And it was over amazing. A box of jambons or something, wasn't it?
€5, I think. I think that's all it was. And I believe the store manager, he came out to the car park and used the trolley to block access, or the exit of the car from the car park. And obviously the gentleman in the car decided that he panicked, I believe was the phrase he used, which it's understandable. It's an important piece of... piece of food, a jambon, but he decided that this was it. I'm going to have to get out one way or the other. And the store manager briefly, I believe, ended up on the bonnet of the car. And thankfully, there was no injuries.
As escalation goes, it's impressive, though, isn't it? From a spat over a box of jambons to somebody on the bonnet of a moving vehicle.
I would love to know how it started, that initial conversation at the till, how it went from that to end up the store manager on the ground, and the car making an escape from the car park.
Now, to some extent, the reason we can laugh at it is, thankfully, nobody was injured in all of this, and the man had no previous convictions and has coughed up, I think, £1,000 to the poor box, and on top of that has a conviction at the end of it. So justice has seen fit. But my God, it's as panic goes, it's a big one, isn't it?
But what a story. What a local story.
We'll finish then with Meghan Markle. Paula, are you all excited about the prospect of being able to buy, as ever, Meghan Markle products?
I just couldn't contain myself when I heard about it. It was thrilling, to say the least. And, you know, I think you can buy, for everybody here that didn't get in the first time, you can get an orange blossom honey. Ooh. And a rosé is soon to follow. You know, she's in a space now where she has to make a book. You know, she'll have to go out and earn a few pennies for the family.
Well, these are hugely useful products. I mean, I don't know where everybody here buys their flour sprinkles, but if you don't have a local supplier of flour sprinkles, Meghan will ship them to you.
And it's wonderful. And I would encourage, seeing as Carlingford, I'll get a plug in early, has, you know, wonderful food products and wonderful oysters, I'd suggest that local producers pay particular attention and start producing some flour sprinkles. There's obviously a demand for it there.
Well, goddammit, Paula, I know a segue when I see one. So coming up after the break, we are going to be talking to the head chef and co-owner of Square Restaurant in Dundalk, who is, of course, formerly Chapter One and a Eurotalk up-and-comer. And we're going to be talking to the man responsible for what I think might be a box of oysters down the back there. We are live from the marina here in Carlingford. Big thank you to David Lynch, former editor of the Dundalk Democrat, and Paula Butterley, deputy for Fine Gael in Louth.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.